Welcome on into the 8 o'clock hour. It's Chris Thomas Turtle with you until 10 o'clock each and every weeknight here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Got a busy 8 o'clock hour ahead right now. We're going to head out to the Wade4.com hotline. Welcome in our good buddy Jeff Centel of Dog Nation. Make sure you check out all of his work there. Jeff, two scrimmages down. What did you like? What did you see? How has the team been looking so far?
Well, hey, Chris, good evening, man. I think the talk of the town in the Classic City has been the mustache on one Gunnar Stockton. Have you heard about it? Have you seen it yet, sir? Have you grown your own mustache?
Well, I am a full beard Stan supporter always, Jeff, so I keep the upper lip nice and full at all times. But I will say this, it is majestic, and it should stay.
I think that probably adds, what, 20 points to a quarterback rating? Maybe puts the completion percentage over like 65 just for the facial hair alone. The big thing is what's undoubtedly coming out of Athens, as much as it tries to kind of be kept under the wraps, is the receivers are really strong this year for Georgia. They're going to help Gunnar out a lot. The run game, the offensive line feels like it's coming around, maybe because of new faces a little bit. Also because they've got a five-star freshman that looks like, for the first time since Andrew Thomas, a true freshman, is going to start the first game at Georgia. That's where Juan Gaston is trending. He started the second scrimmage at right guard. So speaks well when a young prospect, even doesn't matter how highly ranked they are, when that guy can crack the lineup at a grown man program like Georgia, that really says something about the young player there.
Kirby Smart obviously had a lot to say following that second scrimmage. Level of concern about the defensive line, just a lot of new faces, a lot of guys that are young that maybe could contribute.
Yeah, they need Christian Miller to stay healthy, and then as the year goes on, they need Xavier McLeod, who came over from South Carolina last year as a transfer portal guy. He needs to take a step. Jordan Big Baby Hall, even though he's got a great nickname, the former five-star, needs to play up to that reputation now in his third season in Athens. They really like another freshman, Elijah Griffin. You've seen him kind of show up on all those preseason freshman All-American teams already. They just need to find about four or five guys. But I think, Chris, the difference is, compared to previous years, they've got a lot of guys that if they hit, they have NFL, maybe second round, third round potential. And that's a little bit different from Georgia over the last couple of seasons.
So one thing I thought that was interesting was Kirby was asked about the penalties that are going on, and that could obviously link to the youth that we were just talking about. Is that something that's caught your eye?
Yeah, it's one of those things where, I mean, let's face it, I think he trots this stat out a lot, that basically 55 to 65% of his team has been there for less than one or two spring practices. And he said they spend a lot of time now just teaching them football, like basic football, like things that maybe they thought they might know. Like the rules over the summer have been expanded where they get more time with the players now. And I mean, he just mentioned in his press conference today some of the things that quarterbacks might not know all the time is they're not aware of how many more downs they got. And that's when you're trying to make good decisions with the ball, you don't need to force it on second down, knowing you still got another chance on third down to make a play and move the chain. So a lot of young kids that have never played at the speed of the game that things are right now. So, I mean, that's always interesting, but I think you're going to get a trade-off with zeal, enthusiasm, and a bunch of kids that are just hungry to get better and play and have that youthful energy that maybe he's been missing over the last couple seasons in Athens.
What do you make of the depth of the running back room right now?
I think the depth there, it's kind of going to hinge on two guys that are going to be your thunderback guys, and that's Josh McCray, the transfer from Illinois, who still hasn't really got into SEC shape. The word there is he needs to lose a little bit more weight to kind of be able to outrun SEC backers and SEC defenders, and he'll eventually get there. The other name is Roderick Robinson, a guy that has been beaten up most of his career, but usually plays around 235, 240. He's been very resilient and working his way back to Georgia, working his way back onto the field at Georgia. Now, Nate Frazier feels like a home run hitter. That's a guy Georgia is expecting to do big things. I think he even got the Beats by Dre commercial that's showing up on social media this week. So I think all in all, the Dogs feel good about running back.
So we have a lot of changes, as you mentioned, going on in the wide receiver room. You mentioned all the new talent that's there. But is that going to be the identity of this Georgia football team? I know they're going to be able to do a lot more, I think, than they did last year in terms of play action and trying to push the ball down the field. But is the identity still going to be to try to run the rock, or are they going to be more of an air it out type offense?
I think it's still just going to be that. This is a Kirby Smart football team. They're going to run the rock. They're going to stop the run. But they're going to take shots with play action because they feel like they can with those big receivers. Arguably, Chris, Gunnar Stockton throws a better deep ball than Carson Beck ever did. And he's used to taking shots like that. And I guess with the mustache now, he's got to be a gunslinger that goes downfield to a plethora of receivers now that are like 6'4", 6'5", and 6'5". So not only does he have weapons, he has those big bodies that can win those contested catches.
You have any worry about the cornerback battle going on right now? It seems like there's a couple of guys in the mix.
Man, that's kind of the good worries. I think that would be rich program problems. I think the big thing for Georgia, here's what I feel, Chris. I think Georgia's got its best set of four corners that maybe Georgia has ever had at one time in the Kirby Smart era. And now it's just who starts and how they get enough run for redshirt freshman Ellis Robinson IV. Ellis has had a great camp. He was a redshirt last year. He was the number one corner in the country. He was a guy that I actually saw with my own eyes cover Jeremiah Smith in 7-on-7 competitions when they were both seniors. And Ellis comes in with a lot of hype. He's very hardworking. But as far as those recruiting rankings go, he stands as the second highest rated guy Georgia has ever signed. He's a corner. You've got Dalen Everett, who basically dismantled Texas in those two meetings a year ago. You've got Daniel Harris, who looks like a prototype NFL first rounder. He's 6'2". He's long. He can run a 10-8 in 100 meters. He's the type of guy that gets NFL general managers drooling, especially coming out of Georgia. And then they got another guy, DeMello Jones, who's quietly in the mix there too, already establishing himself as an SEC guy. I think Georgia has cornerbacks squared away.
When you look at the state of the rankings that have come out, coaches poll, AP poll, do you think it's a good thing for the Dogs to have a couple of teams in front of them to get them hungry and excited to prove that they are a top three team in the nation?
I think it's funny, Chris, because, you know, remember how somehow the urban legend got going when Nolan Smith was there for his last season, Georgia's 2022 back-to-back national title year, that somehow people were kind of putting forward that Georgia was going to be a 7-5 team?
Yeah.
Well, I think, and that was kind of very fictional at best, but I think this is the equivalent of that. Putting Georgia number five when, you know, I actually did a story this week, Chris, like where I researched it, like how many five stars Georgia had on the 2021 elite, like all-time defense. There were six of those on that defense. As it stands right now, Chris, Georgia will have 10 former five stars on this 2025 defense. And we know we've kind of seen that movie, Chris, about what happens when Kirby Smart has that much talent on defense.
Certainly so. He's become the number one coach in the nation off the back of that. So you are certainly right about that. What do you make of the state of the SEC coaching ranks right now? I think there's a couple of guys you can point out that have a lot to prove this season, like a Sam Pittman, maybe even a Brian Kelly at LSU. What do you make of the state of the coaches?
I think the Netflix documentary has everybody thinking that Brian Kelly must not enjoy his job at all. He feels like he's trapped there, a lot of pressure there. But I think right now, I don't know if you noticed this story this week, but somehow Auburn won seven championships over the past week. So that certainly has to take a few degrees off the hot seat there for Hugh Freeze, how they were able to just claim those championships. But like, in all seriousness, I think this is a you got to win now league. I think Hugh Freeze is basically at the end of his lifeboat here there with Auburn. They're going to try to win with receivers. A lot of smart football folks look at Georgia going to Auburn as the potential slip up on the road for Georgia in the season. Most think that Georgia can weather Tennessee a little bit with a new quarterback. But Auburn, like, it's always hard to win it. Auburn, Chris, I think a lot of folks that really know football, I've heard this for years, that if you're going to go to Jordan-Hare and beat Auburn, you better beat 14 points better than Auburn. And if you are, you might win by 3 points or a touchdown. That's how hard it is to play in Jordan-Hare. It's a great environment. It's very loud. The tradition speaks for itself. So, you know, there's a lot of things going around the league. It feels like South Carolina is getting a little too overcooked there with all the, I guess, a lot of the momentum going behind their quarterback. Lenore Sellers is seen as an NFL first rounder right now. And we've seen a lot of quarterbacks bloom in the preseason of the college season as future first rounders. And then they kind of wilt in the heat of the schedule. So that's one of those schools that I'll have to see it before I believe it was South Carolina.
More pressure to win that week one matchup, Ohio State or Texas?
I think it's more pressure on Texas because Ohio State just won theirs. I mean, Ryan Day climbed his Everest last year, but he did it in the most unorthodox fashion. I think Texas really kind of needs to live up to the number one ranking and the Arch hype because, listen to this, if Arch Manning struggles in that first game, all of a sudden, what does Texas have? They got a pretty good defense. They got some pretty good receivers. But remember, this was the anointing season for Arch and how he was supposed to carry Texas a long way this year. And I think that's a very interesting game because Ohio State is still very talented. Somebody's still got to find a way to cover Jeremiah Smith, and I don't really think that can be done for any more than 20% or 30% of a football game.
You mentioned LSU. We were talking about them before. Do they have a chance against Clemson? Clemson is getting all the national pub right now.
I think they do. I think LSU's always going to have receivers. They've got Garrett Nussmeier. If you follow the mock draft world, like, Nussmeier's getting a lot of early first-round type buzz there. He's seen as a pro quarterback. He's very accomplished. I mean, folks forget, Chris, that when Georgia was playing in a 2022 SEC championship game when they beat LSU on the way to their back-to-back, Garrett Nussmeier was the quarterback in that game, and he threw deep on Georgia. He decided the best way to attack Georgia was over the top. So he's been around the league a very long time. He's got weapons. I think the big thing for LSU is they just got to get somewhere above, maybe two notches above abysmal on defense, and then they'll have a really big shot in some of their, I guess, spotlight games.
Before I let you go, did the Big Ten do a good job of trying to throw their Michigan scandal onto the back burner by suggesting a 30-team playoff?
Man, that stuff is asinine. I don't know about you, but, like, there's no way people need that many playoff teams. I know everybody wants to keep everybody alive and keep everybody invested, but I don't know how college football fans in general would reward maybe an 8-3 or 8-4 regular season team that goes on to win the national title. I don't know if that's going to be the epitome of Cinderella right there. When, you know, I don't know if you remember it, but there used to be a thing called BMG Music Service where you can get 12 CDs for the price of one, or so-and-so DVDs for the price of one. Well, that sort of thing would get everybody eligible for a national title. I think it dilutes what makes college football great. I know I'm going to sound like an old schooler here, but I think the playoff number, I think 12 is fine. I think 8 would have been better. We know TV rules all, but, man, if they go 24, 26, 28, something like that, that to me is just going to feel like the ultimate sellout.
Jeff, appreciate the time as always. Great stuff. We'll be reading you at Dog Nation. We'll chat soon.
Hey, man, take it easy. Have a great show.
All right. That is Jeff Sentell, our good buddy there. Let's keep the college football convo going, shall we? Another one of our favorite guests going to stop by. Bill Bender, senior writer of the Sporting News, to chop up all things college football. We'll ask him about the Dogs, too, of course. We'll keep it going next. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, Odyssey app. It's Chris Thomas tonight.